Yes, you do. It's your meeting.
Yeah, it's my meeting, huh? Yeah, welcome everybody to the tech...
Recording in progress.
Tech committee meeting. I believe we are all here. So I'd like to call this meeting to order. In terms of the agenda, Shaheem, if you could throw that up on the screen just for a second so our presenters know what we're doing. So tonight we're going to hear 15-minute presentations from Revise, GoGov, and CClickFix, respectively. There'll be a 15-minute presentation, leaving about 10 minutes each for Q&A. Ryan and I are going to talk about paperless Hudson and make some recommendations, and then Theo will share his office ride-along with Tracy and present a soliloquy to that effect, hopefully in a rhyming pentameter. All right, so up first, Revise. Are we here, Revise?
Don't think that they are. I think that they, I know that Michael Hoffman was going to set them up, but I didn't have any communication on.
Yeah, they should be here tonight.
In birth or
on the meeting.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and proceed with GoGov.
I am here. Thanks for having me. Did I have about 15 minutes? Is that correct?
That is correct.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thanks for the time. So basically, just going to dive right in here for time's sake. So two modules we have, I think, would help accomplish some of the goals based on my conversation with Ryan early on, our citizen request management module, as well as our citizen notification module. And for both of those, the focal point from a citizen perspective is what would be a City of Hudson branded mobile app. Branded meaning you name it what you want, and then that's how you promote it and what people would search for in the App Store and the Google Play Store. So like this is one we do for a village here on Long Island. By the way, we are headquartered here on Long Island, so we're kind of neighbors. This is for Village Mineola. This app is called My Mineola. Same one here, the village of Hyde Park, they call it My VNHP. And kind of the story to tell to the citizen is, hey, go download the City of Hudson's new branded app. Number one, all sorts of useful information at your fingertips. That's the different buttons that you see here. They're called applets. And basically, you can source the content for these from either A, existing pages of your website. So like the customer has a COVID button, this is going to part of their page that has a COVID feed. So any page of any website or web service can be pulled out and highlighted. And then there's some native applets as well, like highlighting different places throughout the city. Like the customer lists all their parks, they can see them on a map, get pictures, descriptions of services, hours. Highlight mayor and council folks, groups of phone numbers that are quick to dial, just all sorts of things to say, hey, if you download our app, at a very minimum, you're going to get some useful information for the city. Second reason why they might want to download the app goes into the citizen notification part of this. We want to push information out to our residents. And we see such a wide variety of content. Just looking at some examples from our recent customer message send, power outages, basketball tournaments, public meetings, looking for volunteer signups, a pet clinic. So you can really push out anything you want, and kind of the basis for how the notification piece works is on the staff side, we'll give you access to some web-based software, and you'll obviously choose who can send and who can't from the staff angle. And basically from this screen, you'll be able to draft up and send content. And we can make it so that you can take this content, and we've got up to four different places to which you can send it. So I can write up a message, I'm going to do a road closure, for example, and I can take this and send it, A, via push alert. So any citizen that would have the City of Hudson app on their device, Apple or Android, would receive this message in a real-time push. The second would be email, which would go ahead and allow you, obviously, to send to anyone who we have their email address. We could import existing email lists, or we can have you, going forward, put a widget on your website where someone can type in their address and get themselves added. Then we also do share to Facebook and share to Twitter. So you're able to take this one message, send it to these four different places. For time's sake, because we have some content to go through, we'll just look at the push alert for right now. I've got your app on my device. I'm going about my day. I see your app name, your app icon pop up here on my phone telling me there's a road closure and I should expect delays. So I open this guy up, shows me a little preview of the message with a dismiss button as in like, okay, I've seen enough. I don't need to see this. Along with a view button as in like, yeah, I kind of like to read the detail of example of what this one might come out looking like here inside our phone. And then this also went out via email and then pushed it to Facebook and pushed it to Twitter. So it's kind of like the second reason why someone might download this. And then the third and maybe most substantial reason would be to report problems and concerns. And that's the citizen request management portion of this. And there's really, for this, I like to think of three main components: the mobile app. There's also an iframe for your website, so if anyone does need to go there, they can still put requests in. And then the third piece is the staff-facing software for tracking and managing the work. And we have like that, so you could, some departments could just use that to track the issues that come in, but then we also do third-party system integration. So, for example, maybe your public works department already uses some sort of work order system. You know, we could do an integration where the data essentially slides back and forth. But this is what it would look like for a citizen to put a request in. When they hit the start request button, there'll be a listing of all of the different topics that you choose to make available for them to submit. So this is us working with the different departments, saying like, what types of issues do you get? And our system also intertwines the knowledge base, which is your ability to represent topics with articles of information, things that people ask about, but we don't necessarily take a request for service on. So for example, I have a topic for pet licensing. I don't do that, the county does. But people do ask us, so I wanted to represent it here, and instead of having to like manually answer them, I just serve them this information, you know, with some information that the county does, and give them a phone number, give them a website link, and send them on their way. Then, of course, there's the actual submitting of an issue, and that falls into our talk. This is an example of what I'm going to do for tall grass and weeds. It's a really simple two-step process. Step one, do you have any pictures? You can say no, you can open your camera and start snapping. Actually, our data suggests that for most people, they've already taken the photos and they're reporting it at some time after that. So what our app does is allows you to, number one, attach multiple photos through the app. Number two, it actually pulls the location right off the GPS coordinates that are embedded in the photo, and assumes that's where this issue is located. If for some reason it's not available there, we show them this map. Starting with their current location, they can drag and drop the pin or type in the address. We'll also do for you a boundary to make sure you're only getting requests from within the area that you're actually responsible for servicing. Really quick question for the group. Does the city utilize ArcGIS by any chance?
We do not yet, at least.
Utilize what?
Okay. So our system is designed to work at... Oh, go ahead.
Ryan, utilize what?
I got someone up there.
I didn't hear what you said.
A GIS program in terms of overlay for... location-based services in that aspect. Now, so Kat, the place we would end up relying on is mobile coordination through whoever the carrier is on the consumer device.
Yeah, no worries. We don't even use that. The system works out of the box with no GIS necessary. Works off of Google Maps. I just wanted to mention, if you do ever eventually go the GIS route, we have a GIS integration. In some places, we actually work with the county, who provides it on behalf of the city, because it does enhance the use of the system with like more complex routing and assignment and more complex address validation for like where issues are located. But we also have like more than half its customer base uses out of the box. So just thought I'd ask. So I just put that issue in. Oh my God, the time goes so quick. So I put that issue in. It thanks you for my submission. Give me some information. And then as a citizen, I can always use this track request button to go ahead and see my service history. So in our company, don't go to the router showing all the open issues in the city. We simply show the citizen the one that they've submitted along with their statuses. So here's our tall grass complaint currently open. We'll watch this change in the next 5 minutes or so as we work the item to completion on the staff side. The second piece of it is the web portal, and we don't need to spend a lot of time there. Basically, we're going to give you an iframe with all your categories, topics, and articles of information, and just allow someone, if they visit your website, to make sure they can put the request in. Mobile app usage is great. We certainly want to help you promote it and get people on the app, but of course, we can't neglect the website. If people make their way there, we need to make sure that we've got them covered. The ideal way that this would get set up would be based on the specific type of issue being reported. You've already predetermined the staff member or department responsible for handling that. So like when we send that tall grass complaint in, me, Kevin Strauss, the staff member, I receive this automated email telling me I've been assigned a new request, tells me the type, where it's located, shows me the photos, ultimately contains a link that says click here to access, and that transitions us into the staff-facing software. On the request side of things, there is really only two screens for everyone to learn. It's very easy to use. The first one is what you're seeing here, which is a list of open issues. And this kaleidoscopes in and out based on what I'm responsible for. For example, city manager sees open issues across all departments. Public works director probably just sees the open public works issues. Employee in that department just sees the open ones assigned to them, right? So it kind of kaleidoscopes in and out based on our responsibilities. Then also you'll notice these due dates. These are 500 emails as they're coming through, build out escalation procedures if things are going overdue. So our system is probably biggest strength is what we call a rules engine, which is our ability to have it do a lot of things for you automatically based on your specific business process. The second screen to learn is like the detail of an open item, which is what you're seeing here. And there's a bunch of stuff available for the staff to work on these, including a customer service history. So I can see all the other things we've done with this citizen. If they ever get you on the phone, it's really nice to have access to this. And I can, of course, click and open these up and view them if I need. I can see how it came in, so we track the source, iPhone app, Android app, web portal, phone call, email. We get a location, green dot showing me it's a real address, and then a history by that location as well. So depending on what department I'm in, it might be quick and easy to spot trends. Like, if I see we've done 7 potholes on the street in the last couple of weeks, like maybe we're asking someone about repaving. Or if we see a lot of a specific code concern, maybe we ask the PD to roll a cruiser by here once in a while more often. So this allows you to draw some quick insights. Then you get to something like status, and in our system, you can have whatever statuses you want. Kind of unique, I think, for the space. You can label them whatever you'd like, have as many as you'd like, and it's another great place to build out automation. Certain types of items hitting certain statuses should send a message to another department telling them something. Or certain types of items hitting certain statuses should reassign it to another department, you know, as part of like a workflow. Or one of the ones people really like is when certain items hit certain statuses, let's send an automated message back to the person that reported it, giving them some sort of update. So when I set mine to scheduled, which is just an example of a status I have, it sent this push alert back to the citizen that sent this in saying, hey, there's a message for you about that tall grass issue that you submitted back on whatever date at whatever time. Big blue tag here now showing me this is scheduled. Notice at the bottom of the phone a message from the department working on it. And we have these messages, say whatever you'd like. But the idea would be to pre-construct this in a way where the citizen gets this personalized white glove level of service. But we as a staff aren't taking any extra time to do so. It's just kind of happening automatically. Just looking at the time, I'm going to push us through a little faster. So there are the abilities to collaborate, by the way. I can ask the citizen a question right through here and click send to customer, and then them and I can communicate back and forth right through the platform. All those messages get threaded here at the bottom of the open item. We can communicate with staff. Taking so long, I might ask my coworker, and I can send it to an employee, department, or a group of employees. And I will go ahead and get that message. It's right in here in a yellow color, and then I can leave some notes. So if I have the concept of internal notes, things that I want myself or other staff members to see, I'm not notifying anyone specifically about it, but it's definitely not something that I'm sending to the resident, and that gets threaded here in a gray color. Let's say ultimately we work this to completion. There's a section called reason closed, text to go to the citizen to tell them why this is getting closed out. And we can certainly freeform type these responses, but more commonly our customers will create these canned responses. You don't have to reinvent the wheel every time you close something out. We also, by the way, have a mobile view of this. So a lot of our public works department users, their folks are in the field. Issues completed, they pop in a reason closed, hit save on their cell phone, it notifies the citizen, and they move on. Because that's what's going to happen here. Once we close the request out, not only will close it here on the staff side, but give the automated update via push alert or email to the citizen that sent this in, you know, telling them, hey, your issue's been closed. And then when they open it up, big green tag showing me it's closed, checkmark this says resolution with some text underneath explaining to them why it got closed out. That's like your average service flow. You can also use the system to do a lot of internal tracking. We have the concept of internal request topics, things that are for staff eyes only. So facilities management, IT ticketing, really any sort of process that you're tracking and managing on a spreadsheet internally is a great candidate to use the system for. So you get all the, you know, work tracking benefits for the people that are, you know, responsible for those items. The last thing I want to say as I run up on my 15 minutes here is the reporting suite. One of the biggest benefits of using a system like this is that now that you have everything under one roof, you can start to slice and dice the data. And I now realize I'm talking to a bunch of tech folks, so you certainly get what I mean. Being able to put this under one roof, like things like open versus closed by month. So every month, how many things come in, how many go out, what's our current backlog? This is across all departments, but I could certainly narrow this down. Closed time distribution. How did we do closing these things out in relation to that service level we set up for each one? Anywhere I'm seeing green, I met that service level goal. Anywhere I see red, I exceeded. So maybe I want to drill down and see, like, what are the ones that went past? Do we have an expectation problem or we have a process problem? Right, be able to identify these things. And then you can do as much custom reporting as you want. So, like, a good example I like to use is we're here in New York, right? Where it's kind of spring. I guess say that maybe based on today's weather. And we're getting to repaving, right? Like, here in Long Island, the LA is like a minefield. So how do we figure out, like, which roads come first on the repave list? We can't repave all of them. But once you're using something like this, we might want
should have prefaced all of this to A, Kevin didn't take a breath in any of that, so like, well done. But no, just for my fellow council folks too, don't get caught up in everything that this has. What I want you to all understand is that we would need a phased rollout for something like this, right? The absolute first thing that we would need to be doing when looking at a system like this, I would love to be able to start leveraging it for systems management internally, but we're not there yet. We probably won't be there for a few years. But as an inbound way for any citizen to be able to capture anything out there that is wrong, right? Sidewalks, right? We know that we need to start cataloging those. And for it to be able to notify DPW code if need be, but also the respective council person of where it happened is issue one, right? We become more aware of what's going on. The second element to this, and Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, is that just the ability to stop managing most city functions via a Facebook page, right? Whether that's the police who had something about the road closure with a spelling mistake on it earlier this week, or the mayor letting people know that alternate side of street parking is, you know, not happening because of snow, right? We need a better system by which to be able to contact people. So Kevin, the first is, confirm for me, we can integrate SMS push outwardly, right? So say somebody doesn't want to download the app, but we can integrate it with an SMS push out. The second is, do we have the ability to tie in additional systems or link to them, i.e. parking? One of the things that this committee is considering is, if we went to a digital way to do parking within the city of Hudson, how do we integrate into those systems so that it's either A, a one-app experience, or B, it's a seamless transition over to that other platform? And that would bring up the third question, which is paying parking tickets, right? I mean, there are small things that we would probably need to roll out first before we went into the full government management platform.
Sure, and I think the uses you described, by the way, are the most common uses for the software, citizens reporting issues. Number one being public works, number two being code enforcement based on our data. For the parking stuff, that's gonna fall in this applet category. So this customer, one of their first buttons is this Park Mobile parking reservation. This is just a web service that they use that we serve to the customer through the app. So the applets do allow you to wrap all these different web services. Because look, we'd love to do everything for you, but we just don't do every single thing that you can do to run a government. So what the app does is provide a convenient place for the citizen where you can confidently tell them, if you download the app, you're going to get access to all these different things that we offer here in the city of Hudson. And a lot of them are going to be web services served up through there. Yep. For the notifications, we actually don't do SMS. We do push alert for a reason, being that it gives us a really controlled cost. Once we start factoring in SMS, it's a variable pricing based on volume usage. So yep. What we like about ours and the feedback we've gotten is it's very predictable. Also, it's very low barrier to entry for the citizen. The biggest thing we hear on the notification side of things is citizens don't want to give you their information to sign up, which
yeah,
I think is because they pay taxes, and they already have it anyway, so regardless, so our app is low barrier to entry, and if you get a notification, all you have to do is download it. You don't have to sign up for an account or anything like that, so it's super low barrier, so that's the reason we have it set up that way.
The other, that's excellent. I'm glad that you got Park Mobile up here. I believe that's one of the companies that we work with, and I know that there's a burning question on most of the rest of this committee's minds. Do you want to just touch on the, you're not able to put in duplicate submissions, right? So if somebody wanted to daily put in an alert that a certain piece of sidewalk hasn't been fixed, how the system manages that deduping?
Yeah, so on for our system, on the staff side of things, they're chained together, so you just answer one ticket and it responds to all of them. And that's actually what we would consider an abusive user. So for that, we do have some standardized rules where we can essentially mute them for a time period. There's like a couple of different things we could do. We, for what it's worth, and maybe this comes to the answer, you might echo this, it's a concern that a lot of people have, but that we don't actually see happen too often. The actual reality is, you need to put time and effort to promoting the app and letting people know it exists, and to let it live in the ethos so people have positive experiences, and then you get the most powerful marketing tool, which is your word of mouth. So we do try to do some things as well to help promote it. Like, for example, we recently launched this, an app with a place in New Jersey, and we built this graphic for them just like a week or two ago, where they put this on all their social media. It has a picture of the app, the name, QR code, download button. So we do as well on the marketing side, try to help you, because Ryan, I understand the thought process, but it's actually likely situation, which is you're going to launch this, and we need to put some time and effort and so many people know that it exists, specifically in the beginning of the play.
No, cool. Totally. And I think we've got the channels there, too. Go ahead, Art. I think we've got a couple more questions here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Dominic, go for it.
Thanks, Kevin. I think this is great informational piece, and I think it would be great overall, for information for the city. But a couple questions. So how does this work with Android and iPhone accessibility? TalkBack, VoiceOver, is it totally integrated for accessibility?
We do, so it works through all screen readers. Our app is actually, and I think also unique in the space, built on brand new framework, built on a platform called Flutter. So we just actually rebuilt our app from scratch, all the plumbing, in April of 2020. So all screen reader friendly, runs through all of that, and the app is needed for both Android and iPhone. So what we would actually do is publish one to the Google Store, publish another one to the Apple Store. The Apple Store publishing actually is a little more involved. We work with getting an Apple developer account, some other things. They're a lot more strict than Google, but yeah, the accessibility does really well.
And is the website component, so the like the internal facing piece, is that all like, you know, CAG 2.1 compliant, all that jazz?
Probably not on the staff side. We focus on that on the citizen side. It's going to be hit or miss on the staff side. ADA compliance is a tricky proposition, only because yes, there's a set of guidelines, but when you really start to dig into it, it's very much a moving target. So it's just sit here and blanket pass or fail, it would be kind of irresponsible. So what we could do is look at something that would be of specific interest to you for your various reasons and run them through some checkers together. But I can't just say, like, oh, the whole staff facing software is WCAG 2.0 compliant.
Okay, fair enough.
And now, Kevin, is this also, when you said some of the things you can do, can it process fishing license, dog licensing, bike registration, so it takes a little bit of away from City Hall?
Well, to me, sir, what you just described is actually a whole completely different module that we offer, which is an online permitting and licensing module, which is the ability to apply for and pay for those things online. Sure, you could set up request topics for people to submit those, but I think you're going to find it's not what you're looking for. It might even bog your process down a little bit more, because the review process that goes into those is much different than that of working a work order. So two-part answer is yes, you could certainly configure those topics and have those submissions come through here, but I do think it's going to leave something to be desired on the review process. But if another time you wanted to sit down and talk about online permitting and licensing, we do offer that as well.
Yeah, Dominic, so basically, well, it would add a step right now to something like the clerk's office. However, you know, as we, you know, onboard and become more successful with this, if the clerk's office deemed that they wanted to move to an all online model for something like that, the app would be set up so that somebody only has to go in once a week, do the review process, and accept. And then payments, Kevin, can be connected to whatever bank account or form of payment that we would need. So if it's like an ACH direct debit or whatnot.
Right. One more quick question. So because there's information coming from the citizens, how does this, for the legalities of public records, do you have to save it for 7 years? Does this information become public records because citizens are, putting something in writing?
Well, sir, that to me falls again into that category of in the eye of the beholder. So we work in like almost all the states in the country, so it's different everywhere you go, and every person you speak to, by default, we store all information for the life of working together. And then if for some reason you ever parted ways, we give you all that data also, right, most likely for the purpose of being able to produce it for public records. Ultimately, that's the decision that's up to you as a city, but we empower you to keep it for as long or as short as you like. But we have some customers where we do retention rules, and the data, they do want the data deleted after a certain amount of time. But I'd say that's more sparing. Most customers hang on to all of these forever. We just had a customer in California. They headed to a records request back to 08, so we produced like quite a large amount of data for them to be able to fulfill it. We were able to do it, but that's because they chose never to delete anything. So that's totally up to you, but we could give you the power to go either way.
Cool.
Okay, so this is FOIable under records. This information would be a FOIable records request, right?
He's not a FOIL attorney.
Again,
but yes.
I'm not a records request expert. Yep. Although I did work in the clerk world for half my career, that's totally up to you. But if it was, you could certainly produce it.
Yeah, Dominic, basically there's an ongoing record, so we would be able to pull whatever was submitted in whatever date frame that would be required. That would be easy.
Awesome.
In the interest of time, can we move on to Theo? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, this is. Can I just ask this real quick? Because it's just I don't think it's hopefully not too complicated of a question. I saw you just mentioned that all the requests aren't made visible public by default. They're only made visible to the intended recipient. Are in the case of like sensitive information or something that might be disclosed in a complaint. Is that information only made available to that recipient, or can like someone who is not the recipient ultimately have access to it?
Nope. So by default, all the back and forth is one-to-one, city to individual resident. And then within those responses, like if you chose to redact information later on a public record, again, that would be up to you as a city. But by default, like no, like say if you did a request with the city, I can't go on and look at these details of you and the city's back and forth. I'd have to essentially, I guess, know that you did that, submit a records request, and get you to fulfill it. By default, we keep it a very one-to-one ratio.
Okay, but like if I submitted something as a city council member that, you know, I didn't want Art to see, for instance, you know, sorry, Art, that Art wouldn't be able to, like, for any reason, you know, or in any admin position, look at the complaints in my queue for any reason.
Oh, so you're talking about, like, on the staff side, the rights or permissions? Like, because the rights or permissions set up?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. On the staff side, our rights or permissions, are... I'm talking entirely on the staff side. Are they private in that way?
Gotcha. Yeah, we do have topic-level permissions, so you can kind of choose or dictate by topic who has access to the information. With any given topic, I can't say, oh, you could see the address of this one, but you can't look at the description that they put in for it. It's not down to the field level, but it is on a topic level.
Okay, I got it. That's what I was asking. Thank you.
Well, Dominic, did you have anything else?
Gotcha.
No, I think Kevin said that. One other thing I'll just add in, and I believe this is possible with both what Kevin has shown us and what John will show us shortly, is that the other option is in terms of that citizen experience, you can tailor it. So to John's point, they can download the app. They can choose in setting up their profile if they want to delineate the ward that they're in, which would then thereby give us as council members the ability to distribute directly to the ward if we've got something that we need to express with our constituency. So again, something else that doesn't currently exist that can help facilitate the conversation and discussion back and forth between relevant parties. So Kevin, thank you so much for coming. I know we're probably going to have a ton of questions. We'll try to keep them very wrapped up in how we do the follow-up.
No worries. Call me in the meantime. Thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Cool. Thank you so much, Kevin. Up next, C-Click Fix.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for having us. John Mia with C-Click Fix, and I also have Andrew Shetty, who is our manager for C-Click Fix, and also can serve the purpose of a solutions engineer today as well for more a live look at things. Let me just share my screen here for just a moment. Okay, can everybody see my screen?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Yeah, so C-Click Fix, we are based out of Connecticut. What we are, you know, is 311 CRM solution. What we see with residents and cities and towns having the biggest issue with is they want to report issues that they see around town, and they all have their own preferences of how they're going to want to report an issue, whether it be a phone call, a walk into town hall, perhaps text it into town, or maybe go on a website or to download an app. So our goal at C-Click Fix has been to be one source, a hub for collecting and managing all those requests, and put some automation into that, and simplifying the processes for, you know, how you handle those requests. And as well, in our solution, we do have work orders built into it. So as you have requests that come in and things need to become a work order, we have access to allowing you to be able to build that work order there. In addition to that, we do have just over 20 integrations into different types of solutions out there that you may already be using. I don't believe any were discussed with Brian, but if you know, down the road there's a asset management systems, code enforcement solution.